All right, so let's first discuss some just basic halachas, the Seder Hayom. Today is obviously Erev Tisha B'Av. The ideal thing would be for a person, it's the ideal thing, you know, everyone does what sometimes, you know, you gotta be practical. The ideal thing today would be to eat a regular meal before the last, I'm not gonna say the last supper, but to eat a meal, whatever you need to prepare for the fast, then to daven mincha. Okay, if that's possible, to daven mincha afterwards. It's not possible. You can daven mincha today early in the afternoon. And then you eat a regular meal. And by the way, when you daven mincha, you don't say tachnun. There is no tachnun today by mincha. Erev Tisha B'Av, there is no tachnun. It says in Megillas Eicha, Koro Olai Mo'ed L'Shabor Bachuroi. Our enemies have declared a set time to destroy, to break our young men. Now that is not a very good pasuk. That pasuk is very, that's not very unpleasant. That the word mo'ed, the pshuta shel mikra, means a designated time to destroy chas v'shalom klal Yisrael. Mo'ed does not mean a festival. It means a set time. Chazal, as they always do, they see things differently. They see in words of Techacha, they see bracha. Vayhapich Hashem lakecha es haklala lebracha. The greatest practitioner of Vayhapich Hashem lakecha es haklala lebracha is none other than Chachmeinu zichronam lebracha. They took this pasuk and they said, what does this pasuk say? The goyim, they designated a set time on their calendar when they're going to destroy us. That's not what we want to hear. Instead, what we understand is Korolai Moed, period. Maybe there's some Jewish Lishvar Machre, but is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, read the pasuk to mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu has designated this day as a festival. Ad Kedei Kach, you don't say Tachmon. Tomorrow's Thursday, you don't have to say V'Hurachon. Isn't that a relief? Look at the good side. Just because tomorrow it's going to be 100 degrees, and just because tomorrow you have to sit on the floor, you have to wear, you don't care wear shoes, and you can't eat or drink, look at the good side. You don't have to say v'hurachum. Look at the good side. Mark, aren't you happy?
No, actually,
you enjoy saying it. A real misnagid, a real litvak. Mamish, a real litvak. You enjoy it. I don't know about, do you enjoy saying, Dr. Binsack, do you enjoy saying v'hurachum? It's very nice, you know, it's very nice when it says that. But tell me the truth. Deep down.
It's a very special tefillah.
Very special tefillah. There's another litvak, yeah. Mayor.
During COVID.
Mayor understands. Well, Mayor is seasonal.
During COVID, I said it. I said it, and I was thinking about Sukkot, and I, you know, came up with a lot of good speeches.
Oh, that's very powerful. Look, I was utterly shocked when I heard one of the Gedolei Yisrael of Herschel Shachar Shlita. He said that when he goes to Shul Daven, that he davens in Yeshiva. As far as I know, he davens in NYU. They say way too fast for him. So what he does, he rotates. He says only three sections. Every Monday, Thursday, Monday, he keeps a cheshbon. He says only one of the three sections. Slowly, Tov Me'at Bekavana. Okay, it's a good thing. Okay, it's a good thing. Yes. Yes.
For the record,
I just want to
set the record. In Simon Tav Kut one day in the Ramah, the meaning of the whole Zilas Ashman, and the meaning of all the places that we come from, Lechol Suda Kabur Kaida Mincha, meaning before Mincha. Then you have a Mincha, Lechakach, Sala Mincha, Lechol Suda Masech.
Correct. That's what I said. Right? That's what I said originally. But unfortunately, it's not always, that's the way it should be. That's the halacha.
Because he also says don't dump into the gedol also.
Okay, so the ideal thing is, as he said, he said is to daven, is the ideal thing is to eat the regular seudah before mincha. How far does it go? If let's say it's going to be a choice between davening b'yichidus, davening b'yichidus versus if you can eat the suda and then daven mincha, or davening mincha early.
Even today, we have a 3 o'clock mincha.
Right. So a lot of shuls indeed have 3 o'clock is not going to do it for you. It's not really practical. The truth is, it's not really practical. It's in camp. You know, I remember when I was in camp, going back 100 years ago, when I was in camp. Yes, you know, everything done. For boys, you know, you can do whatever you want. So you daven, you have the suda, daven mincha, and then you have the suda samaf sekes. Okay, so ideal thing is to have a regular meal, then daven mincha, and then you have a suda samaf sekes. What is a suda samaf sekes? You eat alone. You should not sit together with three people where you'll be chayev in zimun. It's a very strange concept that you should go out of your way not to be mekayim what it says. It's a pella that you should avoid entering into a situation where you can bless Hashem together. It's almost like an es la Hashem, not to do certain things. I mean, on Tishrei you don't wear tefillin. How could it be you don't wear tefillin? It's incredible how Chazal have so much power of shev va'al taseh. The Churban Beis Hamikdash is an incredible tragedy. Chazal took incredible powers, their powers to advise us how to conduct ourselves on this day, even though it does involve diminishing in Avodas Hashem. You have to learn. Pa'amin Shebitula Zuhi Kiyuma. The whole day, really, that's a major theme, a major topic we talked about in Tisha B'Av, is that Pa'am there are times Shebitula Zuhi Kiyuma. By not observing a mitzvah, by not learning, by not wearing tefillin, by not benching, by not sitting together to have a su'udah, where ordinarily you come together, you would have a su'udah. No, distance yourself so that you do not come to the obligation to recite the Birchas HaMazon together. Pe'amin shebitula, the cancellation of doing a mitzvah or avoiding a mitzvah, this is the ultimate kiyum of the mitzvah. Through this, it will result in Klal Yisrael ultimately fulfilling the mitzvahs, the yeser oiz, the yeser seis. Look at Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he shattered the luchos. By breaking the luchos, it was a therapy, it was a necessary behavior, necessary action to save Klal Yisrael. And the whole day is all about that. No learning? How could it be you don't learn on Tisha B'Av? Today, Baruch Hashem, there's plenty of learning on Tisha B'Av. If you want to learn, boy, there's no end. There's no end. I know my chaverim yesterday were running around the whole New York City wiring up. They even called me up. We need more wires. Maybe we can borrow some more cables. Wiring up shul after shul after shul all over New York City for an eternity time has at least 30, maybe even by now 40, live programs. Any rabbi you ever heard of is going to be darshan tomorrow, kinnos. You can just turn the channels. You turn the channels. Like the olden days in television. Come home from school, turn the channel, commercial, turn the next channel. It's Batman, the news, channel Mr. Rogers. You know, you keep on turning the channels. There's no end to it. So there's a lot of learning, but the etzem, the real learning, there is no real learning, because pam should be tulu zu kiyuma. So mikra din is supposed to have a dav mincha, and then after mincha you have a suda mafsekes, and the goal is you're supposed to eat round things. For example, the minig is to get a hard boiled egg with ashes and bread, hard water, bread, water.
A tishabov?
Board.
I mean, like the
has an egg on it, has the ashes on it, has the ka'ara, the tisha of ka'ara, the hard boiled egg, right? You save the egg from Pesach on the ka'ara, the chagiga, you save the egg, and you save some of the ash from the zeraya, you save a tisha b'av, and you sit on the floor, I mean, the sabel. This is the minig Yisrael, and I think you're only supposed to have one cooked item. You're not supposed to have. I didn't prepare adequately. You only have one cooked item. You're not supposed to have more. You're not supposed to have more than one cooked item. An egg, a piece of bread, and some water, and ash. It's and to sit on the floor and eat this and reflect upon the Churban Beis HaMikdash. This is the Su'udas. This is the Su'udas Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, this is the Su'udas. No, they say that on Yom Kippurim, really we should eat. We're not learning till today. Really on Yom Kippur, we should have a massive Su'udah. A Su'udah in honor of Mechilas Avonos. You can't. The Torah says, Yinis Mes Nafsha Seichem. Jews never let anything get in the way of a good meal. Remelas, what do you do on Tisha B'Av? The Su'udah that you would ordinarily have on Tisha B'Av, on Yom Kippur, the Su'udah that you would ordinarily have on Yom Kippur to celebrate the Yom Tif of Mechilas Avonos, we just push it back. So we have it on Erev Yom Kippurim. The Su'udas HaMafsekes that we enjoy on Erev Yom Kippur is the Su'ud that we really should be enjoying on Yom Kippur itself to celebrate Mechilas Avonos. It's the same thing when it comes to Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av, really, we should eat. Like I told you many, many times, Tisha B'Av Be'etzem is the day of Avelus. And Dev Avelus, there's no such thing as not eating Adarabba. We should eat, and we should recite a special book of Samazan. We should have a special Suda. This is the Suda. The Suda that we would ordinarily eat on Tisha B'Av, we just push it back to Erev Tisha B'Av. It's just the same exact thing as Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim, on Yom Kippurim, we push it back to before Yom Kippur. So too, the Suda that we would eat of the egg, which represents Avelus, Avelus is a Gilgul, Achayz HaBe'olam, something that is round. Okay, certainly there are some other mystical things about eggs. There are certain mystical things, and Be'ah means, Be'ah in Aramaic means, Ba'ayah means to cry, it means to make a request. There are a lot of very mystical concepts about eggs, but we dip the egg in ash instead of dipping the apple. Dip the apple in the honey, we dip the egg in the ash. We dip our avelus, our egg, our ba'aya, our request, our desire. Ba'aya means a heartfelt desire to come close to Hashem. We dip it in the ash, corresponding to dipping the apple in the honey. Ashana toiva umisuka, it's a reflection of the bitterness that our requests, our ability to come close to Hashem has been sealed, been stunted because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Then the fast begins. When does the fast begin? It begins with sunset. What time today is sunset?
8:17
on the dot. There is no halacha of Tesefes Tisha B'Av. You don't have to start early. There's no lighting candles. 18 minutes early, 40 minutes early. The fast begins with sunset. You can eat and drink. And just a practical matter, everyone knows, you don't need me to tell you, drink like a camel. Because tomorrow it's going to be 106 degrees. Okay, it's going to be 95 degrees to 106 degrees. It's going to be brutal. Brutal tomorrow. Drink electrolytes. You have to get it's very good. Get electrolytes. Get one of these power drinks. Lots of electrolytes, because it's going to be brutal tomorrow. And of course, everyone, whatever your doctor says, none of my business. No need to be machmir. No need to be machmir. No, there's no rav that's going to tell you to be machmir on Tisha B'Av. I remember my mother once told me that in Europe, women, they never fasted. It was like the Dover Poshet, where my grandmother came from. The only chilek between Yom Kippur, they did. Yom Kippur, everyone has to fast whether you like it or not. But all of the other fast days, there's only one chilek between Tisha B'Av and all the other tzaymas. For Nashim in the Alta Hay, know what the chilek was? All of the other fast days, you don't even have to ask a shayla. You don't fast. The women didn't fast. But Tisha B'Av, first he asked the rabbi, and then he says, you don't have to fast. The only chilek between Tisha B'Av and all the other fast days is that on Tisha B'Av you have to, and then you're told, you have to go through the motions. You have to go through the motions. First you ask, my wolf. You go through the motions. First you ask, but the end result is The end result is that there are many coolists, especially in our day and age, post COVID. There's a lot of COVID. I should be very careful, Rabbi. There's a lot of COVID going around now. Okay, I heard already a few people have COVID. Yeah, there's a breakout. There are a lot of people now that are getting COVID. Okay, I know this as a fact. I know it's only here locally, but no, Baruch Hashem. I mean, it doesn't seem to be Hashem Yirachem to be a very severe outbreak. But be careful. Don't take anything for granted. Okay, so this is the Sutra of Sekhes. This begins. What are the laws? You have to sit on the floor. Obviously, now how low do you need to sit? We're going over some old halachas. So there are some people who come to shul tonight with a tape measure. Tape measure. I once made a joke, and this guy, he really didn't like it. I was holding a tape measure. He really said I was serious. And he says, why do you have a tape measure? I said, I go up and down the streets, and I measure. When I see a woman, I make sure it's 2 inches below the knee. He said, what? I'm just joking. But tape measure, right? So I told him, you'll see some people, I saw this, they come to shul with a tape measure. They want to sit on the windowsill, or they want to sit on a step, on the bima, or they want to sit on, I don't know, some ledge in the Beis HaKnesses. They want to pile up 2 tables, 3 tables, or they want to take a chair. They want to make sure they're not in violation. They take a tape measure to make sure it's 3 tvachim. I have actually a tape measure at home, a real tape measure. It has tvachim and amos instead of inches and feet. Okay?
According to
Rashi. Rav Chaim Noe. There's a Pesach Achra. Rav Chaim Noe, whatever it is. So taka, some taka say, yeah, it's taka, that's the way to go. Call divrei chachamim, all the words of chachamim were given for shi'urim. We're given over for measure. And in chanami, you take a sheet of what exactly is a tefach. Tefach is about, what is it? 2.5 inches? What would you say? I don't know. There's a shum. I didn't look it up. 2.5 inches? 3 inches? Maybe less. And that's a tefach. So 3 tvachim, you should sit below 3 tvachim. However, there are many poskim. I cannot give you chapter and verse. I'm thinking my mind's certain, but I don't want to say that a little short. And they hold that when it comes to Tisha B'Av, there's no such thing. You do not, the inyan of sitting on a low chair is not a din in numbers. The din is you just sit lower than what you would ordinarily do. So during the year, you sit on a chair, you come to shul, you want to sit on a step, there's a bima and there are steps going up to the bima. Is that what you ordinarily do during the year? No way, you would never do that during the year. Is that step lower than your regular chair? Yes. Are you mechuyev to go make a calculation? Absolutely not. You want to sit on the windowsill? Is the windowsill visibly lower than the chair that you ordinarily sit on? Yeah. How much lower? You want to go make calculations? No. There's no din in 3 tvachim. The din of 3 tvachim, there's no halacha of 3 tvachim when it comes to sitting on the ground. It's a din to lower yourself as an expression of grief over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. You just sit on something lower than what you would ordinarily do. Doesn't mean Avelis. I don't know the answer. I know that for Tisha B'Av, there are a lot. Tisha B'Av is not like Avelis. Tisha B'Av is an Avelis Yishana. The standards of the Avelis of Tisha B'Av are, without exception, lower. They're not the same standards as the Avelis Rachman Lassan over a relative. What do you mean by Shabbos?
Well, I guess
you mean 3 tvachim for the din of lavud, correct? Right. So it says he's supposed to sit on the ground. Right. So it says lavud. Mordechai is saying lavud. Lavud, anything that's within 3 tvachim from the ground in halach is like it's on the ground. So an ovel sits on the ground. So alumdis, lavud. If it's within 3 tvachim, then you're on the ground. So if you have a chair and the chair is lower than 3 tvachim, so you're on the ground. is that, how far do we take that? So Yisrael Kedoy Shemheim, the Machmir, but there are those that are Machmir when it comes to Tisha B'Av. There are plenty of people that are Machmir, Kol HaKavod. But it's not necessarily a requirement. The Avelus of Tisha, be very careful, don't hurt yourself, okay? Be people, today we're very delicate people today. Be careful not to get hurt. It's obviously very uncomfortable sitting on the ground. And one thing I just want to tell you personally, and many people agree with me 100%, it is not appropriate, and it's not a good thing. I'm telling you, this is not only my personal opinion, you can totally disagree with me, to use Shiva chairs on Tisha B'Av. I see every once in a while, people, they come, today we live in a world of misaskim. So misaskim, they provide everything. But remember back in the olden days, when there was no misaskim, and every shul had a kit. I remember my father's shul, we had a whole team. When someone died, people would die, once in 2 weeks. So I was part of the team. There was one guy, he would come, he would be the driver. Another guy would come and get the Orin, the Sefer Torah, and the Sidurim. And the shul had chairs. Special chairs for Avelim. Special chairs. Today, Baruch Hashem, a lot of shuls don't do this anymore because misaskim took over the industry. So people still, there are people that still have these chairs. There are still some shuls that have their own stuff. You're in a shul, and they have chairs for Avelim, and sometimes, go into the closet, take out the chairs that are miyuchad for Rachmanu Litzlan when a person is sitting Shiva, and they take those chairs into shul, and during Echa, they're sitting on those chairs. It's not a good thing to do. It's taka true. You have to sit, you have a chair, it's comfortable, it's lower than 3 tefachim. It's a different type of avelus. Just like during the year, no one, because of an ayin hara, would sit down on a chair of an ovel. You don't do that. You don't sit down. No one would take out a chair for an ovel and sit down on it during, it's comfortable. I'll go outside, the backyard. Go to the beach. Misaskim didn't yet pick up, my neighbor was sitting Shiva, Misaskim didn't come pick up the chairs. So, it's a nice day outside. I'll go take the Avelim chairs, put it on my front lawn, and sit down and get a tan. You don't do that. You don't do that. Tisha B'Av also, it's not appropriate to use chairs that are miyuchad for Avelim. It's not a good, it's a different type of Avelus. Avelus of the Beis HaMikdash is not the Avelus for Yochid, for the avilus for yachid is to a degree there are dinim d'oraisa. Okay, koyhanim have an obligation to contaminate themselves for their relatives out of avilus. Avilus, there is an element of d'oraisa when it comes to the avilus for a relative. The churban beis hamikdash is a different type of avilus, and the two do not overlap, and they should be kept separate. Okay. Now let us go further. Let us go further. Now, okay. Now after you come sit on the floor, and I told you, you don't have to necessarily be so makbid to sit mamish on the floor. Something that is, according to many places, something that is lower than is usual. It's not what you usually do, but it's lower is sufficient. Okay. What else? Then we have to wait. It's a long way. We have to wait. We have to actually wait until the time. You have to wear shoes. Not only wear leather shoes, sneakers. Today it's getting harder and harder to find shoes that are not leather. A lot of the things are very deceiving. Okay, they are leather cracks. So cracks, I have most people have no problem with cracks. There are some kanoim. It's not nice to say that word, but there are some people that say that cracks. Okay, Now there's another big issue. And this thing, same thing applies to Yom Kippurim. There is the spirit of the law, and there is the halacha. Most people will tell you that their Yom Kippur shoes are much more comfortable than their regular dress shoes. I come Shabbos, I wear dress shoes. Okay, some people tell you that I pay $300 for dress shoes. And Yom Kippur, they're wearing shoes for $5, $10, and they'll tell you they're much more comfortable. They're much more comfortable. So you'll say you're defeating the purpose. The purpose of Tisha B'Av is to be mitzar yourself, similar to Yom Kippurim, the inisem es nafshay seichem, So what's going on over here? You're wearing on Tisha B'Av, you're wearing on Yom Kippur shoes that are more comfortable than your dress shoes. How is that v'nis nes nafshas seichem? You are finding a legal loophole to go against really what the spirit of the halacha is. The halacha is inui. Avelus, there's a certain inui in Avelus. So there are two mahalchim to this. Many gedolim say it doesn't matter. Halacha is halacha. Yikoiv hadin es hohor. Let the halacha pierce through the mountain. Chazal, we don't have to be smarter than Chazal. Chazal said the din of shoes is leather. Leather. If it's not leather, it's not your problem if it's more comfortable than your leather shoes. Leather is forbidden. If it's sneakers, if it's something that's soft and very comfortable, it's perfectly fine. There are others, though. Not everyone is so comfortable with this. There's no question about it. That there are Gedolei Yisrael that say, there are tzvei dinim. There is the halacha, and that's the ikur. Leather is forbidden. If it's not leather, it is permitted. But if a person wants to feel has a sensitivity to what is the goal is, it's Tisha B'Av, it's Yom Kippur. Who says it's such a good idea that you should have luxuries, you should pamper yourself with luxuries? Okay, so yesh v'yesh. The achiluki deyes, I don't see it today. I see today, we follow yikoiv hadin es hohor. The bottom line, if it's leather, it's forbidden. If it's not leather, don't confuse me with facts. If it's comfortable, if it's not comfortable, that's you. By and large, 95% of the population is not focusing on their comfort level of their shoes. They're focusing on the halacha, the halacha leather. If it's leather, it is osir. If it's not leather, it is mutter. Okay, what else do we do? Okay, so now sleeping. What do you do for sleeping? Okay, so there are minhagim not to use a pillow. The basic idea is to do something a little bit less, something different, something less comfort in order to acknowledge. Try that. Sakonis nefashos. Okay, something a little bit different, a little bit less. Every person knows where they're holding. You don't have to tell anyone. Everyone knows what they need to do. The Chasam Sofer, Erev Yom Kippur, this is the famous Sofer of the Chasam Sofer. Is it true or not? I don't know. But this is what they say. The Chasam Sofer, Erev Tisha B'Av, he would learn. I don't remember what he would learn. He would daven, and he cried. Erev Tisha B'Av, and he filled up a whole cup of tears by crying. Eini Yordamayim. Can you imagine? He put a cup, and he learned, and he cried, filled up a whole cup. And then at the Sudas HaMafsekes, he drank it. He drank the cup of tears. Can you imagine? I can't. I really can't. Okay? They don't say this about us, but they say this about the Chasam Sofer. Okay? A totally different world that we are far removed from. The intensity of the Avelus of Tisha B'Av. There used to be a minug in Tisha B'Av that during Kinois, children would throw acorns. They would throw acorns, spitballs.
Rambos? Rambos. It's these wild weeds that look like Velcro.
They would throw it at the adults during the kinois of Tisha B'Av. So I went to heard from Rabbi J.J. Schachter, Shlita. He gave a whole long show on this, is that, why do they do it? They would throw things. Oh, in fact, in the Chevron Yeshiva, who did I see this from? Someone went, when they went, the night of Eicha, the night of Rav Sarna, Zechat Tzadik Levrach, he was Rav Shiva, I think in Chevron, it was in Chevron, Rav Sarna, and it was an American who came there for Tisha B'Av, and he thought, here I am in Eretz Yisrael, Chevron, this is, you know, what's going to be, how are they going to be, Miss Abel? It was Lel Tisha B'Av, and Rav Sarna came into the Beis Medrash to say to me, I think it could be to recite the kinois, he led, I don't know, and all of a sudden, at some point during the kinois, all of the boys took out these objects, whatever they're called, these wild weeds, and they mamish, they pelted him. They pelted him. And like this boy, who's American, could not believe what in the world is going on. What in the world, they mamish, you think it's like an ufraf, right? An ufraf, you throw candy. And during an ufraf, you throw candy. And here, the Rosh Hashiva, they're throwing something. What's going on? What in the world is going on? If you'll ask them, the boys, they probably will tell you, I don't know, this is the minhag. That's what you're supposed to do. And it seems a lot of people, and during the day, it seems it was very common years ago, very common in Eretz Yisrael to do this. Not but during the day, to throw at the middle of the kinos, like, you know, on Simchas Torah, they tie your tzitzis up. They do all these fun things. They put all the schnapps cups on your tzitzis. They do all these things. They did all these strange things. And so Rabbi J.J. Schachter, he investigated into this. Okay, you can say whatever you want to say. And he says, it seems from his research, is that it used to be back in the day, the Gedolei Yisrael, the intensity of the Avelos reached the point where it mamish came lidei sakonis nefashos. Sakonis nefashos. The crying, the mourning, the intensity reached a point where people would pass out, it was too much. Too much. So they instructed the children to make litzonos, to stop playing games in shul, having kidding around, joking around, and as children do. Okay, I asked over here, the janitor who comes over here at night, I always see him, I asked, so you know they have over here lahav. I said, you know, they have kindlach, come over here at night, they learn. He says, yeah, we got a lot of spitballs here. He says, that's good. He tells him, children, they throw spitballs when he cleans up the shul over here, because they have a whole group. They have a group of little kids who come here at night to learn. They have a whole program for children to learn. He says, you know, kids are kids. Children are children. They throw spitballs, they throw things. That's what children do. They told the children to engage in some activities in order to lighten the mood of the people in shul, because it came lidei sakonis nefashos. So today, we don't have that problem anymore. Okay? Today, unfortunately, you go to some of the programs, unfortunately, the rabbis themselves make jokes. Okay? If anyone here is a rabbi and you're speaking by an event, don't make any jokes. Don't make any jokes. It's not appropriate to make jokes on Tisha B'Av publicly. You want to make jokes privately, fine, but it's not really the right thing to make jokes. But these were some of the interesting minhagim. Okay, so at night, what do we do? Let's go to the basic davening. So we wait until Maariv. Every shul davenes Maariv. Whenever they daven Maariv, you come to shul with the kinois, and they have a regular Maariv. After you finish Maariv, they recite a regular, after the Shemoneh Esrei, regular Maariv, no difference. And when they finish Maariv, they recite Kadesh, Sholem, everything with Tiskabel. Okay, this gets a little confusing. A regular Maariv, and you say at the end, when you finish the Shemoneh Esrei, Tiskabel, Tzilo Sahoin, Uva Usahoin, a regular Kadesh, Sholem, and Maariv, when you finish the Shemoneh Esrei.
It's totally gone.
It's a regular Maariv, and you don't, what do you mean? It's a regular Maariv. Right, you're totally done. I mean, I guess so. Right, you have to be samech the kaddish the skabel to the Shemoneh Esrei. Then you begin to say Eicha. Eicha is said. Okay, do you make a bracha on Eicha if you have a klaf? No, it's not the minig. The minig is not the minig. You don't make a bracha on Eicha. Okay, there are kilos they do in Chaim Berlin. They do in some places in Eretz Yisrael. If you have a klaf on Eicha, and you lay with the klaf, so the Baal Kriya, whatever the minig is, you have to know what your minig is. They make an unchayimlin, they make a bracha. Asher kedushonim b'mitzvah tzvon on mikra megillah. On mikra megillah, it's very uncommon. Very uncommon to hear someone make a bracha on mikra megillah with a klaf. I don't chayimlin. Chayimlin, they just do minig Eretz Yisrael, but I'm not even so sure in Eretz Yisrael it's all that common. I don't know. You have to know when it goes on in Eretz Yisrael. You have to have a klaf.
I was a bar korea in Yiddish shul in Tel Aviv.
Tel Aviv, yeah.
And Bush Megillah and Bush Bracha.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And you made a bracha. You made a bracha.
And from the Megillah, yeah.
You made a bracha. So Kalman himself made a bracha in Tel Aviv. Yerushalmi says, that's interesting. It's interesting that you say that in Tel Aviv, because a lot of the people who make a bracha only in Yerushalayim. Only Yerushalayim, the Minhag HaGrah. It's really really Minhag HaGrah. The Grah's Talmidim were very influential in reestablishing the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. And this Talmidim followed his Minhagim, which are very unique, and they're very not mainstream, the Grah's Minhagim. But it took hold, because his Talmidim were a major force in reestablishing the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael about 400 or 500 years ago. So Yerushalayim, his Minhagim endured Ad HaYom HaZeh, but the Talmidim did not go to Tel Aviv, as far as I know. So that's why you have a lot of one of his what? Right, right. I don't know, it didn't exist, but whatever, right, whatever. But it didn't. The Minhagim, there are a lot of Minhagim are Minhagei Grah, and they've turned into Minhagei Eretz Yisrael, which really doesn't finally correct. It's really Minhagei Yerushalayim. It could be that from Yerushalayim, people moved. It's too expensive to buy an apartment in Yerushalayim, so they started moving out into Beit Shemesh and into Beitar and into Tel Aviv, and they took with them the Minhagim of Yerushalayim, and they make a bracha there as well. That's a whole big topic, a big mishmash. But you're not going to see it in America. In America, it's very, very rare. He makes a bracha?
He wrote a bracha.
Okay, so what can I say? Rabbi
is the Minhag
HaGrah. Why does he Minhag HaGrah?
Family
council in
Yerushalayim, very, very
stark. Yeah, but the shul, the young Israel, you know, they used to have an official minhag. Okay. To each his own. You go to a shul, the rabbi makes the rules, keep quiet. Whatever the rabbi does, v'zehu. Okay, there are five pirakim in Megillah. There used to be a minhag. I saw this many years. I saw it in different places. For some reason today, I don't know. I think it's a dying minhag. Where there used to be almost a kepeda, where they would share the reading of Megillas Eich. There's no question this is true. Is that you go to a shul and they would give out the Megillah, the reading of Megillas Eich to five different people. They would take five members of the kehilah. Five of the chashuvim, and each one, would read a parak. Okay, I've seen this, and many of the young Israelis do this. Yeah. It was almost a hakpada, that when you come Kriya Satoya, one person waits, you have one Baal Kriya, comes to Koheles, no such thing to distribute the laning of Megillas Eich. Today, you don't see that anymore. Today, in a lot of shuls, there's a Baal Kriya, he does the whole thing from beginning to end with Zehu. But it used to be such a thing where they would actually give, it would be read by five different people. They still do that?
Yeah.
In Kingsway Jewish Center.
Yes.
They see that? They still do that. This, I'm telling you, is a minakadma. What's the pshat? I don't know. The truth is, each one of the five perakim, they're very different. They're very different. Maybe the purpose of having it broken up is because to indicate that the five perakim are very different. They're focusing on very different themes. Okay, completely different things. The Churban Bayis, and there was two parakim that were written after Yehoyakim burnt the Megillah. There's one parak that's written as a hesped on Yoshiyahu. The parakim we once done Eicha. It's the five parakim of Eicha are they're each parak is a sefer to itself kemat. And the Mela, you want to indicate. Or maybe you want to share the avelos. Everyone should have a chelik. Everyone has to say kinas themselves. Everyone should have a chelik to indicate that it's not, you know, the tzibur dot. Comes to Kriya Satoira, there are some opinions that say you come to shul, you just need there to be 10 people listening to Kriya Satoira, and everyone else can be reading, can be learning. It's then in the tzibur. Then in the tzibur, someone should read, and you can do your little thing. As long as the tzibur, there are 10 people listening, everyone else can do whatever they want. When it comes to kinos, there's no such thing. There's no tzibur. Every individual has to be misabel. And so in order to indicate that this is not a din tzibur, when we're reading Eicha, it's not a Kriya Satoira. Yeah, the tzibur is going to read. And you know, as long as the tzibur reads, you're in the shul, you're part of a tzibur, and the tzibur read, you're covered. No. Din of Eicha is not a din of the tzibur. It's a din of the yochid. The yochid has to hear, to read Megillas Eicha, and a way to express that is we split it up. We give it out. We give it out to multiple people. Did you ever see? I never saw though they should give to more than five. To take a parak and break a parak into parts that I never saw. Maybe they, I never.
Had a special
what?
For the last parak, the Yekis had a special nigun.
A special nigun, the last. The first four parakim are in the order of the Aleph Beis, and the third parak is a triplicate. The Aleph Beis is triply cold. Is the oil meal cold? What should we do?
Yeah,
you cold?
Hot cold.
Let's see if it turns off. Okay, so this is there are five parakim, and it's interesting sitting you sit on the floor. Interesting question. We have to ask our resident Gabai Mumche. Rav Baruch Horowitz is online. Rav Baruch, where under your authority did the Baal Kriya of Megillas Eicha sit? Did he sit at the Bima?
He sat on the side of the Bima.
Which side? The right or the left?
He sat on the left side.
On the left side?
Where the Gabai would stand, that's where he sat.
Okay, this is very, left side. Is there a reason why?
I don't know if it's done intentionally like that. I think one reason was because his voice reached much more people on the other side.
Okay.
And I've seen the left side of the other.
And also just going back about splitting up, I'm thinking back now. The first year when we started to learn Eicha, so when the Baal Kaira finished the first Perek, I saw it turn to my Rebbe to give somebody else. And my Rebbe said no. He said no. That's about carbon. So I think the reason why he did, because I knew him Baruch Hashem very well, was he didn't want to show any favoritism. He starts splitting it up.
Politics. Exactly. Okay. That's always the problem. Right. It's always the problem. Okay. But there's no doubt about it. It has to be this something which.
Yeah, no, I saw people give it out.
This definitely was a minig, and there's a reason for this minig. If you don't know where the reason is, but certainly there was a reason why it was always done like this. It was divided amongst many people to read. Okay, this is the big mystery to me. Is there a makom miyuchod for where the Baal Kriya sits? I used to daven many years in the Chaim Berlin, so there the Baal Kriya, he sat on the floor on the right side of the Bima. I know someone asked me recently, I was arranging where I daven on Shabbos to Lane. I wasn't going to be there, so he asked me, where do you sit? So I said, very interesting question. I remember that the Baal Kriya sat in the very front, in front of the Aron HaKodesh, facing the Olam.
That's what I said.
Facing. It's interesting. He sat facing,
side.
Not on the left side. Okay, so,
he wasn't in front of it. It was off to the side. It was facing the Olam.
Facing the Olam. Ordinarily, when you're laying, you daven, you face Mizrach. You face the Aron HaKodesh. You don't put your back to the Aron HaKodesh. And here, is it an accident? Hanach lohem li Yisrael and enem levim b'nei levim? I have no idea if there is any makor as to where exactly the Baal Kriya from the laning of Megillas Eicha should sit. Is there? It appears that the laning of Eicha, it's like we said, it's not like the typical Kriya Satoira or the Kriya of the other Megillas where it's a din of the Tzibur. There's a din, it's more of a private matter, where Yoytze with Shamea Ko'ine, okay, because not everyone is fluent in the reading, but it's a different type of reading. After that, by the way, all again, the last parak of Megillas Eicha has 22 pesukim. The last parak is not written to feed the set of the Aleph Beis. It's not according to the order of the Aleph Beis, but there are still 22 pesukim, which is also a remez to the letters of the Aleph Beis. And the reason why the entire Megillas Eicha, okay, it's all according to the letters of the Aleph Beis, and the third paragraph is a triplicate three times, is because to remind us that the reason why the Churban Beis HaMikdash happened is because we violated the Torah from Aleph to Tav. We're in violation, it says in the Chazal, the Torah, every time you have the Aleph Beis, Aleph Bina, it is representing the Torah HaKadosha, Aleph Bina, and the Churban did not happen as just a coincidence, an accident. It was because we are in violation of the Oseus HaKadoshas of the Aleph Beis. Every time the Aleph Beis appears, it's always in the correct order. It's always in the wrong order, except for once. The Ayin and the Pei are always interchanged. Why? Because we go back to the Meraglim, who came back on Tisha B'Av, Erev Tisha B'Av. Today is the very same day. Today, Rabbi Yisrael, as we speak right now, if you look out into the distance, the Meraglim are coming back. The Meraglim are returning, and they're about to issue a slanderous report. And they finish issuing their slanderous report with Tzeisak Rechavim. And after they finish the report, what happened? Vayivku ha'am balayla hahu. They cried. Yeah?
This year, I think it was yesterday, all the Israeli papers were black in the morning. It's a black day.
No, there's an advertisement.
They're not 2 days off. The Merachim came back. The Merachim were on their way back. It's a very, very big tzar. Tzar Liakov, what's going on Eretz Yisrael is just, it's unimaginable what's going on. The divide. Okay, but the Aleph, to remind the letters, why the Ayin and the Peh, because they put their Peh, here, Rabbi Yisrael, please. They put their Peh before their Ayin. They put their mouth before their eyes, and that's a major theme in Tisha B'Av, is don't talk what you don't know anything about. Don't say things that are not sheker. Basically, is when a person speaks and he says things that he did not see. When you testify, you're testifying about what you saw. What is a witness? I was present. Go to a wedding. Do you see the ring? Is the ring worth a shava pruta? Is this the chasan? Is this the kala? Don't blink. Remember, don't blink now when the chasan puts the ring on the finger of the kala. You see, you're a witness. A witness is what you see. What is a witness? And you testify. Emes. This is the emes. In the time of Gol Chazal, the time of Mashiach, ha emes ne'ederes. The Churban happened because Pasku Anshei Amono, people of faith, people just made up things. They made up things. They said things that did not exist. The Meraglim came back and they said slander about Eretz Yisrael that didn't see. The liars. They're saying things that are not true. When you put the Peh before the Ayin, this is a Churban. All of the letters of the Aleph Beis in Megillas Eicha have the Ayin coming before the Peh, have the Peh coming before the Ayin. The Peh came before the Ayin, except for once. Why except for once? Because if it wouldn't be once the other way around, we would make a mistake and think that the real way, the real order of the Aleph Beis, how do you know the order of the Aleph Beis? What does it say that Aleph comes before Beis? Beis comes before Gimel. Gimel comes before El. Who says? Who says? Does it say anywhere in the Torah?
It's
a Messiah. Messiah. Incredible thing. The most basic elements of Judaism is all been Messiah. Well, if in every single order of the Aleph Beis in Megillas Eicha, if the order would have been the Peh before the Ayin, it would be a challenge to the Messiah. We would say that no, the real Messiah is the Peh comes before the Ayin. If every single time, there are 6 orders of the Aleph Beis. Okay, there are four parakim between the Aleph Beis, and one has it 3 times. So that's 4, 5, 6. 6 times does the Aleph Beis appear? Is it sort of ordered in the Megillah Seich according to the Aleph Beis 6 times? If every single of the 6 times it was ordered with the Peh before the Ayin, we would come to believe that the order of the Aleph Beis is, that's the real order. Therefore, it had to be at least once we have the real order. And the real order is the Ayin comes before the Peh. So now we know the Musa of the other five times, we violated the Torah with a lack of emes, asher nosan lanu toiras emes. Okay, after we laid...
By the way, why is the Nun missing in Ashrei?
I'm sorry?
Why is the Nun missing in Ashrei?
Soimech Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim, because we don't want to be a noifel. We don't want Hashem, we don't want to emphasize that Klal Yisrael have fallen. Right, David, the Gemara is the question. Because we don't want to mention Nefila. Nun captures the essence of Nefila. David did not want to highlight that in Klal Yisrael we should stumble, there should be a Nefila. The Nun represents, why is the Nun represent Nefila? I don't know, but that's what it represents. David did not want to say it outright because we don't want to give koyach to our falling in because of our sins. But David did put the Nun in. Soimech Hashem l'chol ha noifalim. That's the Gemara, Mamash Beferish Gemara, to answer your question. Okay, so now after we lay Megillas Eicha, after, you know, we lay Megillas Eicha, there's no end bracha. It's interesting, when you know, there's a lot of discussion between, a lot of discussion comparing Megillas Eicha to Megillas Esther. There's a lot of discussion. After you lay Megillas Esther, you make a bracha. Horoves Shriveinu, V'adon Estineinu, V'anoikim Estik Mosenu, V'amashalim Gemul Chol Oivei Nafshenu, Baruch Atah Hashem, Okel Hanifra, L'amo, where am I asking you, Hanifra, L'amo Yishol, L'yesora. You know something? That bracha would have been very, very appropriate to say after Yilein Megillas Eicha. That would be a very appropriate bracha. Okel, Horov Eshriveinu, V'hadon Estineinu, V'hanoike Mislik Masenu, V'hamashalim Gmul Chol Oivei Nafshenu, Baruch Ato Hashem, Okel Hanifra, L'amo Yishol Mikolut Sodehem, all our tzaras. Wouldn't that be the right thing to say? We've suffered. We've suffered. Teretz is, we deserved it. We deserved it. So you know what happened? So we just push it off until Purim. I'm trying to tell you a chidush. The bracha of Rav Shriveinu was really meant to be said on Tisha B'Av when you finish laning Megillas Eicha. Because, you know, Purim, we weren't destroyed. We survived. Nothing happened to us on Purim. No one was hurt, except for Daniel. Daniel was killed. On Purim, the miracle happened, and we survived. Haman was hung on the gallows, not Mordechai. And the Gzeirah L'Hashem L'Hargul Abed, we were able to defend ourselves. So we survived. And Tisha B'Av, we didn't survive. We didn't survive. There was a Churban. And it was a Churban again and again and again throughout history. Tisha B'Av is associated with every tzara that ever happened to Klal Yisrael. We actually suffered. So we want to go have our enemies obliterated for with the rishis that they did to us. We should make the bracha. Hakel Rav Shriveinu, who talks about Eicha Yosha Badar Yer Abbas Yam, who talks about all the enemies that came to destroy us. So the emes is, I'm trying to suggest that this nusach was composed to be said on the real day of when the enemies prevailed and Koralai Moy Lishvar Bachuroi. But could we really say the bracha? We're also guilty. We're guilty. Mibnei chatoenu golinu me'artzenu. Tisha B'Av is a day of reflection, introspection. We have, so you know what? Let's not take Hashem's name and start blaming other people. But they have to be punished. They have to be punished. There's no hefkeris in this world. There's accountability. Person commits a crime, there's accountability. This is not America here, you know. There's accountability. There's accountability for a crime. So what do? We push it off until Purim. Okay, it's not for nothing you lay on Purim. Four Pesukim in the Nigun of Megillas Eicha. You're pulling in to Purim, Megillas Eicha, to finish up. There are certain elements that need to be finalized in Megillas Esther. That we draw what we have not concluded on Tisha B'Av. Okay, so there is no bracha that is recited at the end. Then we recite five kinnos.
What? There is one more point. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ayat ke'oyer. It says, ma'pasuk.
Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ki'ilu, but not mamish. Right, it's not mamish. You don't want to chashon. Say, wait. Hashem allowed the enemies to overcome us. Okay, then after we finish the Eicha, we recite five kinois. Okay, I always wanted to say, figure out, is that the five kinois correspond to the five, well, we only four, this year it's not Mitzvah Shabbos, so we skip one, right? Did we skip one? I think we skip one because this year is only the Ben Abbas. There's one of the five, you only say when it's Mitzvah Shabbos. So it's not Mitzvah Shabbos. But there are I think there are some who say it anyway. I don't know. But there are five kinois, and I always wanted the five kinois correspond to the five perukim of Megillas Eicha. The five perukim of Megillas Eicha. Then after you finish saying the five kinois, you say Pesukim of Nechama. Okay, that's very important. Don't just say the five kinois. And don't forget to be Messiah with comfort, words of comfort. What are the words of comfort? Terachim. Okay, let me go look at the page.
64
in the Art Scroll Kinois. Okay, then we say words of Nechama. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped something extremely important. I'm sorry. Viato, how could I forget? No. I was right. Terachim, page 64. After you finish, you say terachim. This is not a kina. The word terachim is words of comfort. Just like we have nachamu, nachamu ami, the kina is end with comfort. And then we... It's called Terachim Tzion. These are words. These are pesukim of Nechama. Kako suliyan neviyacha lochein koyim Hashem shafti l'yushalayim berachma. These are Nechama. It's a positive ending, but it's Nechama. You can't end off on a bad note. V'nemar oid kol leimar. These are words of Nechama. V'nicham page 66. V'nicham Hashem oid Tzion. And then you say v'yatok kadosh yoshev tilos Yisrael v'karazel zev yomar. Even though it's not Mitzvah Shabbos. This is said because why do we say the Ato Kodesh? There are different reasons. I don't remember. There's a whole collection of reasons. It's because that when there's a void, the loss of the Beis Hamikdash. It's reading the Megillah, the behavior of Klal Yisrael on the night of Tisha B'Av of reflecting in the Mas'abel is a very, very exalted. Kiddush Shem Shemayim. It's a Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Also, you know, we say the Targum Chazal say the world only exists because of Kiddush of the Sidra. Now that we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash, that there are no Korbanos, how is the world going to survive? If Hashem is not resting His divine presence amongst us, how will the world survive? Chazal say, Kiddush of the Sidra. The fact that they recite these psukim, they bring sanctity into this world, so we say this to keep the world going. Now that there's no longer Beis HaMikdash, we have to say the Ato Kodesh. It could be the same, the Ato Kodesh on the night of Tisha B'Av is more significant than saying it during the day, on a regular day of the year. And once we say that, we say the psukim which accompany these psukim are always the psukim which accompany the Kiddusha, the Sidra, Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. And we translate these words so everyone should understand. Baruch Kivon Hashem Mekoymoy, we translate it, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Ved, we translate it. This is an acknowledgement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sanctity in this world, and Chazal say that this acknowledgement and the understanding of this is what keeps the world going. We need this desperately, specifically on Tisha B'Av when the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. And now comes a very important Kaddish. And this Kaddish, you got to pay close attention to this Kaddish. Nocham Ol, you say the Kaddish. But this time you do not say Tiskabel. You say a Kaddish Shalem without a Tiskabel. When you say a Kaddish Shalem without a Tiskabel, what is that really in essence? Yes. A Kaddish Yosem. So the Darshanim like to say that this Kaddish that you're saying over here, you're saying Kaddish on the Beis HaMikdash. Or you're saying Kaddish on all of the Kedoshim. the Kedoshim, all the people who have died, all the people who have suffered, on the void. When a person leaves this world, he's no longer sanctifying this world here. He's in another world. He left a void. So we have to fill the void. So we say a child says Kaddish for his father. His father left this world. The sanctity, the Kedusha, that his father brought into this world every single day is no longer, because he's now here. So now the child has to step up to the plate. Yiskadal v'yiskadash shmei rabah. The child has to step into the shoes of his father and bring that sanctity to this world. Well, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and many of Achein of Bnei Yisrael have left us, they were killed al Kiddush Hashem throughout history. They're gone. We have to fill the void. So we now recite a Kaddish Yosoim, a communal Kaddish Yosoim on behalf of what is lacking in this world due to the Chorban of the Beis HaMikdash. Then we say Aleinu, and then you go home and you say Tikkun Chatzos. You stay up the whole night. It's like Lil Pesach. Lil Pesach, the Rambam says, you're supposed to stay up the whole night. The ganze night, Mark does this. Mark and Meir, they sit the whole night. They stay up the whole night. Lil Pesach. L'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim at Shabbat Talmidei V'yom Rabbeinu. Higiyas Kriyas Mashal Shachris. Higiyas Kriyas Mashal Shachris. Just like Lil Pesach, you stay up the whole night talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim. B'tzeisi Mitzrayim. You're supposed to stay up the whole night being Misaper about the story of Bitseisi Mirushalayim. One of the most famous verloch, Yisoides, from Rav Yoshua Ber Soloveitchik, Zitzag Levracha, is he held that the same way there's a din of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, where the father has an obligation to gather his children around him, Lil Pesach, and relate to them the Misoira of Yitzias Mitzrayim. A father has an obligation to gather around his children. Igorer imi kol b'nei bayis. He's medayik in one of the keynotes. I will draw near with me all of my family. I'm going to have them sit around the floor with me. Leil Tisha B'Av. Igorer imi kol b'nei bayis. And I'm going to teach them the Misoira of the Churban Beis HaMikdash.
It's
all the same. there's a pattern. There is a din. You know, you learn about the Churban. Don't believe what you read online and this. You need to hear it firsthand from the source. Your father, who heard it from his father, who heard it from his father, who heard it. There is a misoira in Churban. Don't go. Listen to a documentary on Channel 13 about the ancient Jews. Come on, that's not that. That's full of sheker. There's a mesoira to the avelus of Klal Yisrael. Igorer imi kol b'nei bayis. He's supposed to stay up the whole night learning about the Churban Beis Hadash. No, Dr. Aaron Mendel, he's doing this now. He has a Tisha B'Av program. This year, it's the 41st year of his program. Would you believe 41 years since he started his Tisha B'Av program? Today, it's dwarfed by all these big rabbis, all these other programs. And he told me that in the early years, it was the only game in town. In one year, he says he rented 2,000 chairs. There wasn't one chair left during the, and there was standing room only. Could you imagine that? A live audience before the internet, before all these things, in the afternoon of Tisha B'Av. The afternoon of Tisha B'Av, people came, he says, I'm doing Matisyo Solomon, Shlita, Yeshev Refuah Shalema. He says he rented 2,000 chairs. And there was, in La Chateau, in Chinko, when it first opened, there were no chairs left. And people were just standing all over the place. Could you imagine? No internet, no programs. Before the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, which also is no longer what it used to be. Can you imagine what it was like? So he told me in those years, they came at night. The program was a 25-hour program. They came at night. He says people just went to sleep in the hall, on the floor. They came at night for Ma'ariv. They leaned Eicha. and then they had two speakers, and the program at night finished at 11:30, and a whole bunch of people, they just lie down on the floor in the hall, in La Chateau, here in Brooklyn. Why should we go home? What's to go home? They lie down on the floor, they went to sleep on the floor. Shachris was 8 o'clock. They got up 6-7 o'clock, and they learned, and they got ready, and they sat there the whole day listening to Darshanim. Amazing, huh? Today, you don't have that problem. In Eretz Yisrael, there's no question. If you want to see the chil between American and Eretz Yisrael, you go to Eretz Yisrael and Tisha B'Av. It's a different Tisha B'Av. No question about it. That's you know, I told you this once. All right. Then we come. Then we go in the morning. We're going to go very quickly because I want to do kinnis in the morning. Now there are different minhagim. What brachas to say? There are many different minhagim. Do you say korbanos? Do you not say korbanos? You're not supposed to learn. You say psukim. There are different minhagim. Do you say the parashas of tefillin? Do you skip brachas? Some people do not say the bracha. They do not say the bracha. Sha'asali kol tzarki, and they don't make the bracha of oiter yishol besifra, because sha'asali tzarki is the bracha you say on shoes. And Oiter Yisrael Besif Ara is the bracha that you also lose the tefillin. So there are some people that skip those brachas and they say it later in the day. And some people do not say certain sections of davening because the psukim of the Torah, and you're not supposed to learn Torah. What I've been brought up is, don't play around. If you're going to start skipping brachas, you're going to forget to say them later on. If you're not going to say Oiter Yisrael, if you're going to, you know, you're not saying the psukim because you want to learn. It's part of the Nusach HaTehillah. I can't speak for anyone else, but I've been brought up, you just daven like a mensch, like you do every day. Don't play games. Don't skip brachas. Just adarabba, say all the brachas, a lot of kavana. Don't start skipping psukim and not saying this, not saying that. It's okay. It's okay when you're on a big Baal Madrega to know what to skip, then you'll know what to do. You don't have to ask the Shilas. Just to daven, to say all the brachas, and to say all the psukim, and it's a regular daven.
There is one thing that's universal, and they don't say it in the morning.
I'm sorry?
There's one thing that's universally left out.
Mizmar l'sayda.
Yeah, that's
it's not so partial.
It's intertwined with Keller Kapayim, obviously. Don't
type the name. What's universal?
The yom.
Right, we get that yet. I didn't get that, right. Right. We didn't get, we're not absolutely right. The yom, you do not say the same now because the yom is the shir.
Mincha,
you begin mincha with hayom yom chamishi b'shabbos. That's how mincha begins. Yiskadal, yiskadal, shmeir, right? You begin mincha with the yom. We skip the yom. And you don't say lam natseach, and there's no tachnun. But and you down a regular davening, pretty much. Do you say mizmor l'soida? I think there are different minhagim. Let me go look in the art scroll. Art scroll mizmor l'soida is recited while it does say it on page 104. The art scroll says you should say mizmor l'soida. It's not erev Pesach. What about eating? Don't ask too many kashas. Art scroll says you say mizmor l'soida. The basic thing
because
is.
The Kahana.
There's no korbanah, whatever it is.
The
basic rule is, listen, do whatever you want. Everyone has their minhagim. I was just taught is don't be a smart guy. Just daven, a regular daven. Don't skip any brachas. Don't. There are many opinions on everything, but we're not, today the average person is not on such a madrega to make all these cheshbonos, and it really makes a difference. You daven like a mensch. Halavai, halavai. And then when we come to Shemona Esrei. Shemona Esrei, the Yochid is a regular Shemona Esrei. There's no Nachim for Shacharis. There's no Aneinu Yochid. A Yochid does not say Nachim. A Yochid does not say Aneinu. You just have a regular Shemona Esrei. The Shliach Tzibur says Aneinu. The Shliach Tzibur only, as a separate bracha to itself, he says Aneinu. Then it comes, then after you finish, then you take, then Kriya Satora. Kriya Satora is unique. You learn from Parashas for Eschanan. There are three aliyos. The person who gets shalishi is supposed, before he makes the bracha, asher bochar banu, before he gets the third aliyah, he's supposed to say boruch dayan emes. Before he makes quietly, not loud, quietly, because Maker Adin, there used to be Sejul Maker B'Shem Malchus, but the only Shlishi, I do not believe the Kohen B'Lev make the Bracha, only the Shlishi, before he makes gets the Aliyah, because they can give him, he says quietly to himself, Baruch Dayan Enes, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMavayroch.
Why not the Kohen B'Lev?
I don't know. It doesn't say by the Kohen Levi. Maybe you're right. I don't think so. I do not believe so. I can't tell you.
The Svarim says about the Kohen, not the Shlishi.
I saw just the opposite. I saw the Shlishi, not the Kohen. I don't know. I don't know. So you have Machlekes, okay?
Sefer
Toidah says the Kohen says Baruch Dayan Emes. Okay, I.
What does Notev Gabriel say?
Go look it up. I don't know. You have to see. I don't know. It's only the Kohen, he says Baruch Dayan Emes. Okay? If that's what it says. I remember seeing just the opposite thing. We have to look into this. Then there's the Haftorah. It's a very long Haftorah. It's a very powerful Haftorah. And then after they make the brachos on the Haftorah, the brachos is very rare. The brachos on the Haftorah very. You make the brachos on the Haftorah. These are very powerful brachos for the Haftorah. And then you begin Musaf. What's the Musaf of Tisha B'Av? Kinos is the Musaf. Okay, the Musaf, we continue with the Kinos. Now, we do not lay in Eicha, at least not publicly. It's a new thing today. They put on all the papers, come to our program, featuring a special feature. We're gonna lain Eicha by day from a klaf. That's a chiddush nifla. That's not the minhag Yisrael. That's a new thing. It's a new thing. New thing. L'chora, it would appear that adarabba, by day is not a time to lain Eicha. You can lain it privately, gezunde heit, but the kina, the ikur kriya of the day is Yirmiyo Hanavi. You're taking away from the Haftorah. You're downplaying the Haftorah. In fact, the Kinois, a chunk of the Kinois is an elaboration upon the Haftorah. At night, you recite Eicha, and then you amamshich with five Kinois to elaborate upon Eicha. By day, the focus is the words of Sefer Yirmiyahu, the Divrei Nevi'im. How could you go lay Megillah? Megillah's Divrei Kisuvim. Divrei Kisuvim doesn't carry the weight of the Divrei Nevi'im. A Megillah is a Megillah. It's Kisuvim, and even amongst the Kisuvim, it's downplayed that it's only a Megillah. It's not a Sefer, it's a Megillah, and it's a Megillah that's found in the collection of the Kesuvim. That doesn't come anywhere near the Toikef of the Koyach of Sefer Yirmiyahu, the Sefer of Toichochos. So by advertising and promoting, we're going to lay in Megillas Eicha by day from a klaf in public, excuse me, where does it say to do that? You'll find. I'm sure you'll find sources. But this is new Anayazach. This is Anayazach. This is not the Minhag Yisrael. The Minhag Yisrael that we are all accustomed to, never heard of this before, is that you should come and lay in shul publicly, Megillas Eicha, from a klaf in public on Tisha B'Av day. Tisha B'Av day, you know what you do? You lay publicly from Sefer Yirmiyahu. Or Soifa Sifem Nu'um Hashem. That's a whole different shmooze. I know that. That's a whole different shmooze of why it's like that. You want to be Messiah with Nevi'im. That's a whole different shmooze. But the Pashtus is the Divrei Nevi'im are the Divrei Nevi'im. Ksuvim is a lower Madrega. That's the Pashtus. And even amongst the Ksuvim, the Megillah is even a lower Madrega. So what are you promoting? Why don't you put in the newspaper, come to our gathering, we're going to lain from Sefer Yirmiyah, B'tzibur. The Haftorah. And it's very important, but you don't lain the Haftorah. When do you lain the Haftorah? On a Thursday morning? Since when are you going to lain the Haftorah from a Haftorah? It's a very big Kiddush. Yeah. after you finish the kinois, you then say terachem, terachem tzion, ashrei lo tzion. And then what do you do? Nochamol, a kadesh tiskabel, a kadesh sholim beloy tiskabel. Zel bezach. There's no tiskabel. And this tiskabel gets lost. There's no replacement for this. This is a pretty sad state of affairs. There's no time you ever daven a shmone esrei and mamish leave out a tiskabel except for Tisha B'Av morning. At night, both Purim night and Tisha B'Av, you say tiskabel the first time.
First time.
The second time, you don't say it. But Shachris. A Shmoneh Esrei, every Shmoneh Esrei, B'li Yoytzei Min HaKlal, B'li Yoytzei Min HaKlal, has Tiskabel Tziloy Sehoin Uva'u Sehoin D'chol Beis Yisrael, except one Shmoneh Esrei, the Shmoneh Esrei of Tisha B'Av morning. It lost out its Tiskabel. When you finish the Kinois, and you write, you say the Psukim of Nechama Terachim, and then you Ashrei uvolatzioi no lamatzayach, it's a moed. And now, oh, tiskabel. No tiskabel today. Sosam tifilosi. Hashem shut out our prayer. The gates are closed. Your sins, zumebnecha to'enu gulinu me'aretzenu, there's not going to be a tiskabel. And then, there's no yoyim. Because if there's no Beis HaMikdash, the Shira is said to accompany, I want to say a Chiddush is that the Shira is said to accompany the Tiskabel. That's a Chiddush. That the Shir Shel Yoim is an accompaniment to Tiskabel Tziloisai. When Hashem accepts your prayer, Mark is dancing in the aisles. When Hashem accepts your prayers. But there's no tiskabel. No tiskabel, no shira. Why don't you say shira? You don't sing songs. Even though today you look at the newspaper, Tisha B'Av became a concert in some places. They have some of the real big singers today performing. It's a new world we live in today. We need it. Chizuk. I'm all for it. Don't worry. I'm the first one that will go to these things. Chizuk. But there's no shira on Tisha B'Av. I'll tell you, but I was telling you, no, there's no Shira, because the Shira Hayashal Yoim is accompanies Tiskabel Tziloy Sehoin Uva Usa. If you don't say Tiskabel, you don't sing Shira. And then, you gotta have a break. You have a break?
The Shir Shal Yom is Zecher HaMikdash. Zehayom Yom HaMishi V'Shabbat Shebo Hayu Hagim Omrim Bebet HaMikdash. That's why, and Beit HaMikdash is not Kayam. That's why we don't say it.
Okay. It's all part of the basic, but I'm just trying to say a little bit more. Okay. And then what do we do next? Then you take a break until Chatzos. What time is Chatzos?
102.
102 in how many seconds? 104. I need to know the seconds and the fraction of the second. I'm very, you know. After the GPS coordinates will tell you, you know, it depends which shul you're in. Every shul has a different fraction of a second, one chatzos is, and then it's like you get up from Shiva. It's then you get up. You know, there's a very beginning in getting up. Rachman will somebody and base Ovel, the Ovel doesn't get up, they tell him to get up. Get up. What do they say? They sit and the people come, they tell them, it's now time to get up. Who tells us to get up on Tisha B'Av? Who tells up? Who tells up? Who tells us to get up?
The sun.
What? The sun. The sun, no. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells us to get up. Okay, there's a pasuk. I've got the pasuk. You don't just get up. You don't get up. You have to be told to get up. Okay, in Avelos, Avelos don't get up from Tisha B'Av. The people who are there, the Menachanim, if everyone's in Avelos, who's going to tell us to get up? Hashem. Kumi oiri, kivo oirech, the haftaira. Kumi oiri, kivo oirech, it's haftaira for one of the shivd in chemta. If everyone is in Avelos, who's going to tell you to get up? The Ribbono Shel Olam is speaking. There's a bas koil that's yoitzeh, chatzois.
You gotta wait a half an hour for mincha. And mincha, you start with the shira, put on the talis and tefillin. You should really make sure you daven mincha early. Don't daven mincha late. Mincha gedoyla. It's a day for mincha gedoyla, Tisha B'Av, because if you oversleep, chas v'shalom, you can forget to put on tefillin. It's a very dangerous thing to not to put on tefillin, to miss tefillin. Karkaf le'monach tefillin for one day. So it's not something to play around with. It's a very good idea to daven mincha early on Tisha B'Av. And the Ashrei Yilei then turns into a regular Titus Sibur. Vayachal Moshe Dirshu Hashem. There's no Avinu Malkeinu. In Shemoneh Esrei, you have to say two things. Anenu, in the middle of Shema Koleinu, and a different bracha, Nachem. If you're not fasting, you don't say Anenu. If you're still fasting, but are planning to break your fast, you can still say Anenu. As long as you're still fasting, you can say Anenu, even if you're planning to break your fast after Mincha. If you're not fasting, you don't say Anenu, and you don't say Anenu. Okay, but you do say Nachem no matter what. Nachem you say even if you are not Zdin of the Yoim, no Avinu Malkeinu, and there's no Tachnun, and then that's it. The rest of the day you're not allowed to learn. Some people are makel that when it comes Tseis Hakachavim, Daf Yomi Shir after like Tseis. What? I'm sorry. Shkia, sunset. It's a very nice skula. I like the skula. And what's so bad doing the skula is that once the sun sets, when do they break the fast? So some shuls, everyone does whatever they want to go do. I like to eat exactly 45 minutes after sunset. So the shuls, they daven. You know, everyone davens whenever they want to go daven. But some shuls, they are ready after the sun sets. You could learn Daf Yomi. Min Ma'ariv is going to be in 20 minutes. The sun has already set. The prohibition to learn is over. You don't have to be so machmir when it comes to Limud HaTorah after Shkia Sachama.
Well, some of the doctors skip the Kamsa.
They wait until today.
Yeah.
Okay.
They can do it a bit earlier.
I don't like that.
What are they
doing? Okay. And after Shkia, Mincha is over, the late Mincha, we're going to be davening Ma'ariv in 15, 20 minutes. Hey, let's take out the Bava Kama and let's learn a real Daf Gemara. Oh, it's Tisha B'Av? It's after Shkia. So you have to be so machmir. Maybe you're not going to eat until 45 minutes, but Limud HaTorah, you don't have to be so machmir after Shkia. All right. Yeah, after Shkia, you can be Mekel. No. You're not allowed to be Mava Sedra on Tisha B'Av. No. No, definitely not. All right, there's a lot more, but we're out of time. After, let's take a short break. We're going to do some selected keynotes for a few minutes. Take a short break. Short break. We'll lower the air conditioner over here. We'll...